in every distress.
You see me fly. You see me fly. All of my. Hallelujah. Father, our trust is in you. You are our God. We know no other but you. And this day we draw nigh to you. And Father, your word says that you draw nigh to us. Our steps towards you might be little, but one step, just one step, and you are right where we are. Because, Lord, you're already where we are. And the step that we take is a step of just letting you be God in our lives. And tonight, we make the decision, individually and corporately, that you be God. Have your way in our lives. For we know, Lord, that we will forever be changed when you have your way in our lives. Blessed be your holy name, Father, forever. Deliver us from every snare of the enemy. Deliver us from the web that the enemy is spawning into place. Destroy every entrapment and grant us supernatural speed. Speedify, Father. Speedify. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for every one of you who's taken time to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. This morning, we continue to explore the message on peace, the peace of God, and I'll encourage you, as I did Sunday last, to please go and listen to the message that the Lord has given to us regarding peace. And let it continue to speak into your heart. Because if there's one thing that we all need as people, one common factor for all people, it is peace. The wealthy needs peace. The poor needs peace. People that don't have any problems need peace because they worry about things going too well. When is the next shoe going to drop? What is going to go wrong? How can things be this nice? And they lose their peace. We all need peace. Every one of us, bar none. But the greatest peace that we all need is not the peace that the world gives. It's the peace of being in relationship with God. That's the peace that we ultimately need. If you have that peace with God, then there's no battle, no war between you and God. It doesn't matter what else is happening in the world. You know that you're okay. But if you don't have that peace in your relationship with God, your goose is cooked. It doesn't matter what else you do to try to manufacture peace in the natural. It's all fake. I was looking at an outfit that I had ordered it online, and online it looked like the way it should look. It looked right. Until I got it and I saw that it was fake. The what was supposed to be embroidery was stamp. And I thought, you know, one of these days I'm going to wear that outfit. I'm just going to wear it. And if you're far away, you think I've got the real thing until you come close. And that is how it is with most people. Far away, you think they have peace. Just go closer and you find out, oh no, there's no peace there. Far away, they look like the amazing couple, all holding hands, kissy, kissy, kissy. And behind the door, it is Third World War. That's how it is. That's how you see, oh, I thought they were an amazing couple. They're getting divorced. Yeah, it didn't just happen. There was war. There was no peace. But they had all the money. You see, what money does, money is like the blessing. It multiplies whatever it is that you have. If you have drug problems and you have money, you just have more money to buy more drugs. That's it. Money doesn't solve anybody's problem, really, ultimately. That's why you see people, they may win a lottery, and before you know it, everything in their life is falling apart because now money exposed the real problem. So ultimately, when we're talking about peace, we're talking about wholeness in our hearts, wholeness in your heart, that you are one with God, that you are connected with the Father, and that you are in a peaceful relationship with Him. And that's what you and I must desire consistently. Desire not because we don't have it, because the Lord Jesus Christ said He's already left it with us and He has given it to us. So we already have it. Nobody can pray for more peace. He's given you all the peace as the Prince of Peace. He gave it to you. Somebody say, I have peace. Say it again, I have peace. The third time, say, I have peace. Yes, you have it. So when you worry, it's not because you don't have peace, it's just that you're not using the peace that God has given to you. So you got to use what God has given to you. How is it that you don't use what God has given to you? When you allow your circumstances to become God in your life, number one. When your circumstance becomes God, becomes the thing that controls and influences you, you lose your peace. Number two, you lose your peace when you allow yourself to go into strife, unforgiveness, and bitterness. You will lose your peace. When you are this angry person, you've lost your peace. Because God is not angry. He's not like that. You keep your peace when you walk in love and when you speak the blessing into people's lives. Listen, it is a powerful thing when somebody is attacking you and instead of you attacking them back, you say, the Lord bless you. It's disarming. But what did you say? I said, the Lord bless you. Huh? Two things will happen. They will either back off completely or they will get even more upset. And if they get more upset, run. Hallelujah. The Word of God says, it is better for you to meet a bear that its whelps have been taken, its cubs have been taken, than with a fool who's acting the fool. He said, take off. Don't hang around. Amen? But make sure you release the blessing, because if they reject the blessing comes to you. That's the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the ways of God are different from our ways. Very different. So the Lord will say things like, somebody comes and smacks you on the left side, turn the right side to him. What is he saying? He's saying basically, stay in the state of peace. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I'll repay. They ask you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Excuse me? Why should I do that? Because you're taking the power away from them. You're taking the last word away from them. And you are doing by choice what you need to do because you're not giving control to them. Praise the Lord. This is how we walk in peace. We walk in peace because we are allowing the God of peace to reign, to have rule over our hearts, over our lives. So the Word of God says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, it's one of the passages we tapped into this morning. It says, and let the peace of God, let the peace of God, allow the peace of God rule in your heart. Allow it. It is there. Let it rule. Let it influence your decision, your talk, your walk, your acts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. You've been called into peace. It says, and then be ye thankful. How is that going to happen? By you letting the word of Christ, the word of God, dwell in you richly. So you cannot operate in the peace of God if you don't have the word of God inside of you. You have to have the word of God inside of you. He says, let it dwell in you. Let it not just visit, let it dwell, let it abide in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So how do we cultivate this peace? By teaching each other. By speaking into each other's life. By encouraging each other. By admonishing each other. And by singing hymns and spiritual songs. You know, there was one day, it's got to be about 2 or 3 years ago, something was happening with me. There was a challenge in here. I was looking at all that was happening in the church. There was a challenge in here. And the worship team began to sing a song about not giving up on God because he will not give up on you. And as they were singing that song, don't give up on God because he won't give up on you. He's able. As they were singing that song, something began to break. Break, break. And I was out of that funk. It was the singing of spiritual songs. The songs, you know, sometimes people, praise and worship, I just want to hear the word. Listen, you're doing yourself a great disfavor. You need to be there and be part of the worship, the adoration. Because God prophesies into your lives through those lyrics. You know, for the longest time, you know, I thought, you know, this all this emphasis that people have about music and songs and, you know, it's not a big deal. It's only not a big deal when people are singing nonsense. But you don't know how powerful words are when they are put to music. How they get to you in a way that other ways might not. And then you receive the impact of the power of music, the power of poetry, like the Psalms. It's not just singing, it's not just songs, it's poetry. Hello? Are we together? Words put together, and they speak to you in a very specific and particular way. And when you do that, when you allow that, the peace of God comes in. It's activated inside of you. That which God has put inside of you is watered. You see, peace is watered by the singing. It's the atmosphere where it thrives and flourishes and brings you out of that funky state to a place where you are settled in your mind, settled in your spirit, and it begins to affect your body. Listen, dancing is exercise. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Dancing is exercise. When you're dancing, you're exercising. That means when you are dancing and you are happy, that you are affecting your body. And when you are at peace, you relax. Is that true or not? Yeah, you relax. Your body relaxes. Because you are settling and resting. There's no tension, unnecessary tension in your person. Your muscles relax, everything begins to flow properly, and on and on and on. And so the Word of God says, it says it happens with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then it says, and whatsoever you do in words or in deed, do everything you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What is that doing? It's saying, understand that if you're just doing it for people are going to disappoint you. But if you're not looking for your thanks from people and you're doing it as unto the Lord, doing everything that you do as unto the Lord, you don't have the time to say, oh, well, they don't care, they don't worry, they don't concern. You don't have time for any of that because your focus is to the Lord. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. I get paid? Great. I don't get paid? Okay, I did it as unto the Lord. He is the one who is going to reward me and empower me and cause me to know good success in spite of what men do or don't do. Amen? So, Pastor, what are you saying to me? What I'm simply saying to us today is this. Do everything to make certain that you keep the peace of God that He's given to you and use it. Don't let anybody take it from you. They didn't give it to you. It does not belong to them. It belongs to you. Use what God has given to you. Be at peace. Be in the state of rest. Because if you are not doing that, then what you're going to be doing is what we talked about earlier this morning from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 9, says this to us. It says, we should not render evil for evil. Don't pay back evil for evil. Somebody did you bad, don't go about doing them bad. Or railing for railing. They're yelling and screaming and shouting at you, don't do the same back. Stay away from that. It says, well, I tell you what you need to do, but contrawise, blessing. They are busy giving evil your way. It says, speak the word of blessing. They're railing at you, speak the word of blessing. He says, that's what you need to do. Why, Lord? I should be upset because they upset me. They say, I know they're upsetting you, but speak the blessing. Why? Know that ye are thereunto called. You are thereunto called to what? You're thereunto called unto doing the right thing, but primarily you are thereunto called to the blessing. Hello? You're called to the blessing. That you should inherit a blessing. You're called to the place of blessing so you can inherit the blessing. That's what I've called you for. So when evil comes and railing comes, count it all joy, the Word of God says, when you fall into diverse temptations. Is that not what the Word of God says? Count it all joy. Why am I supposed to count it all joy? Oh, because it's a setup. It's a setup. Because there's no way you lose the blessing. The Word of God says when you speak the blessing, if the blessing is not received, the blessing comes back to you. And that blessing that comes back to you is now precious blessing. It's precious because what you dished out was precious. You should have dished out something really bad, but instead you flipped that and you spoke the blessing. God says, that's precious. That's precious. That is a highly priced blessing that you just gave. And now the highly priced blessing comes upon you. What does that mean to me? It means this, child of God. It means that every problem is a channel for greater blessings. Hallelujah. Greater blessings. We talked about the peace of God and how the peace of God goes to fight for you. And as it fights for you, it gains ground for you. And every ground that is gained is yours to possess. So Paul will say that he rejoices because problems come. So have you lost your mind, man? What do you mean you're happy when problems came? Oh, because I'm gaining more ground. That's why. More blessing is coming my way. Guess what? When you and I understand that, and we are operating in that, the devil who doesn't want you to increase in blessing stays away from you. Because every time he comes at you, he sees you gaining ground. Hello? Somebody listen. Every time I attack him, he's getting more ground. Because he's always responding, not reacting. He's responding, speaking the blessing. Stay away from that guy. Just stay away from him because he's messing everything up for us. Wow, and how? Because peace is always going to fight for you. Peace is going to fight for you because you are resting in the loving kindness of God. You're just resting in God. Taking life easy. After all, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, learn of me. So I'm learning something. No worries. The storm is on. What is Jesus doing? Panicking? Is that what he's doing? He's sleeping. He is sleeping at the bottom of the boat. Now, if he's sleeping in the lower levels of the boat or the ship, water must be going down there. But he's still sleeping. And the Bible says they were busy bailing water out. But the guy is sleeping. So they had to wade through the waters to go wake him up. Don't you care if we perish? They said to him. Don't you care that we're going to die here? And so Jesus came up and says, peace. Be still. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what he did. He used the peace that he had to go after the problem.
Thank you, Lord.
Hello? Are we together? He used his peace to go after the problem. When you're facing financial problems and you think everything is going to fall apart, allow the peace of God to go find the resources. Send peace out. So peace, you mean nothing missing and nothing broken. No lack. So bring me no lack. Hallelujah. Go fight for me. But if you are busy railing and fighting and you think, I'm the Lord of my life and I'm going to take care of business my way, by myself, God will let you alone. Before we moved in here, We used to use the banquet hall at the Holy Ghost Fraternity Building just before Mountain, just a few blocks from here. If you're driving that way, you see the building on the right, just before Mountain. We used to use the basement, and it was cozy. It was so nice, beautiful place, beautiful place. We loved it in there. We were having church services there, having a great time. We were there for about 6 months or so. And then it was the end of the year, or of their year, and they had a new board come in. And when the new board came in, the new board, we weren't causing any problems. We were paying our rent on time and all of that. The new board said they don't want a church in there. And they didn't give us any notice. They just wanted us out. And I flipped. I said, how dare they? Who do you think you are? You come in here and you're going to kick us out? We have plans for next year already. You want to kick us out? I'm going to show you that you don't mess with this Nigerian. I'm upset now. This black briefcase. I called some of my spiritual daughters. They were in Toronto. I said, I need you to draw me some legal papers right now. I'm going to show these people that they can't mess with me. Who do they think they are? Some bot comes out of nowhere. They're going to come throw us out. And while I'm busy doing all of that, I heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord says to me, do you want to fight this battle or do you want me to fight it? I said, I want you to fight it. He said, then stop this nonsense. What am I going to do? Lord, what am I going to do? He says, drive down Henderson Highway. I'll show you where you're going. So I drive down Henderson Highway, and I see a church building that I'd not seen. I've been in this country for years. At this time, about 20-something years. And I'd never seen John Black United Church. It was always there. The Lord says, go to that church. That's where you're going. Huh? So I went there, and I asked for the pastor, and I saw the pastor. I told him what my problem was, that I needed a place to have services. He said, we use this place in the morning. I said, that's when I normally have services too. Do you have any other time? He says, well, you can use it after us in the afternoon. I said, great, I'll do that. I accept that. So, would you believe it? We've been paying our monthly rent. That month, we didn't have enough money to pay the rent for the first time. So if we had been there, we wouldn't have been able to pay the rent. Now when we moved to this place, we were there, first month. I came and said, how much are we going to pay? The pastor says, no, nothing. Huh? Amen. Nothing. I think we were there for 2 months or so. But that was God directing our path. Thank you. So when I talk to you about being, restless and worrying, and I've been the master of it. I've been there. Now I'm on the other side of it, recognizing that that doesn't fix anything, that I need to be in the place of the blessing. And in the place of the blessing, things ease on down the road. Ease on down. Ease on down. Ease on down the road. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. No matter how ugly the situation is, God is not surprised. Huh? He's not surprised by whatever circumstance you're facing. And you restating and rehearsing it and all of that is not when God got the information. Before you were ever born, even before the foundations of the earth, God knew you. Huh? So do you think he doesn't know about your problem before you got there? He already knows. And peace has already resolved the problem. If you can only rest in the goodness of God and cast all of your burdens and your cares upon him, for the word of God says, for he cares for you. He says to us, he says, if you ask for bread, will your fathers give you stone? If you ask for fish, will he give you a serpent? Huh? He said, if your fathers, which are bad, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will God give you the Holy Spirit? Huh? How much God give you the Holy Spirit? I thought he would say, how much more will God give you good things? He says, give you the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit in your life is the Spirit that brings about the manifestation of good things in your life. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Someone say, I need you, Holy Spirit.
I need you, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. I need you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will bring the goodness of God to you. It's the Spirit of God. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit prepares the atmosphere so that the Word of God can come forth and bring about results. The Holy Spirit brooded upon the waters, dark waters, and God was not busy fretting and worrying about how bad things were. God just said, let there be light. And the first thing the Holy Spirit will bring about when God's Word comes out of your mouth is to bring you to a place of enlightenment, where you become more aware of your situation than it was before. And what did God begin to do? He began to call things out of the water. The things that were buried, the land, he brought it out of water. The birds, out of the water. The animals, out of the water. The trees, out of the water. Everything, he started pulling them out of the water. Whatever has been buried and been in the darkness, when the peace of God, that's why, you see, When we see the symbolism of the Holy Spirit, we see the symbolism of peace. Yeah? The dove with the olive. Yeah? Is that not true? Well, because Holy Spirit and peace work together. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot be in a place where peace is operating in its full impact in your life. Who has the Holy Spirit? Those that obey God. Who has the Holy Spirit? Those that see God. The Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it cannot see. That's what the Word of God says. And who is it that does not see peace? The wicked, evil person. They will not see peace. They will always be in an arid, dry land. But the man who's standing in the righteousness of God is watered and watered again and flourishes even in the courts of God. Even in his old age, he's still blossoming. That is what the peace of God brings about. Now, let's continue to explore 1 Peter chapter 3. We see what it says to us in verse 9 about not railing, about not rendering evil for evil, so that we can inherit a blessing, that ye should inherit a blessing. Then it says, for he that will love life, if you love life and you want to see good days, you must refrain your tongue from evil. Don't let anybody push you to that place where you start spouting out evil because you're angry, because you're upset. Tame that aspect. You tame it by letting the Lord reign in you and through you. Because this is the deal. When you allow yourself to be angry, please listen. This is very important. When you allow yourself to get into the place of anger and you start swearing and cursing, it is not just happening with doubt. It's happening with faith. Let me say that again. It's not happening with doubt. It's happening with faith. You're angry and you say, "You are dumb." You believe it. You're not just saying it. You believe it. Are we together? You believe it. So it's activated by faith. But who is going to manifest that? The devil. Because God is not in agreement with that. But you have spoken something, and the devil comes and champions it. And as soon as the devil starts to champion it, he becomes Lord over you. He now has control over your life. And now that you, like a pit bull, have tasted blood, you will always go in that route. You got to put that bulldog or pit bull down. Hello? You got to put it down. So the word of God says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Kill it. Kill it. Because you have just started something, and that's the pattern that you are going to follow from that point on. A couple that gets into their first fight and use disrespectful words and actions, that's not the last time it's going to happen. The first time the man hits the woman, that's not the last time. I don't care. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. He started a pattern. You don't want to start something that you know is wrong. Because as soon as you start it, you have come to the tipping point. Are we together? So the lifestyle of not being in a state of peace becomes a practice. You practice it. You practice worry. You become a worry wart. Don't do that. You got to kill that thing. How do you kill it? By inviting the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of peace. Say, God has given me peace. It is in here. Now let peace reign. Let it have rule over every thought, every decision I make henceforth. I surrender myself to the Lordship of the Spirit of the living God. For the word of God says, your tongue, from whence you're going to launch out all of this evil nonsense, you cannot control by yourself. It says no man can tame the tongue. It says it's like the bit in the mouth of the horse. That bit is attached to reins. And those reins are in the hands of the rider. And as the rider pulls, tugs on those reins, the animal responds to whatever direction the rider is controlling it. So if no man can control the tongue, then it is the rider. Who is the rider? The owner of the horse, the lord of that horse, the captain of that ship. He is determining where and what direction this thing goes. And it says about the tongues in the book of James chapter 3 that it is a world of evil itself, ignited by hell itself. So we've got to refrain our tongues. He says, your tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. Your tongue defiles your entire body. The only other thing that defiles the whole body is the act of fornication, sexual immorality. The tongue and sexual immorality affect your whole system. Because this causes you to step out of being the body of Christ in the sense that you are not operating in the blessing of God. And so does immorality do. It separates you so that you have now joined yourself to the prostitute or the whatever. You become one with that. This joins yourself to the partitioning impact of the devil. He says, and set it on fire, the course of nature. The course of nature. Your destiny. The way your life is supposed to come. Your tongue defiled, your body defiled, it will burn up your future. And it is set on fire of hell. But you can't tame this. You can't. You've got to have the Lord of your life ride your life. That's why, child of God, is of utmost importance that you and I obey God in every instruction He gives to us. God gives you an instruction, He's training you. Obey. Stop arguing. If you find it in the Word of God, just do what the Word of God says. Whether you like it or not, He has to break you to bring you to the place where you become independent. Hear this. This is important. Ultimately, God wants you to become independent. That's the ultimate goal of God. Not independent of Him, but to be able to handle life independently. So He brings you from the place of being a child to a place of being an adult, mature. So He can trust you to make decisions. Just like you raise up your child and the child grows up to be able to become independent. They don't become independent of you and shove you away. They become independent because now they can do things for themselves. Are we together? So, God wants to grow you and I, and the place He wants to bring you and I to is where we are able to control our emotions and stop being angry and flipping all over the place, because now He can trust you with power. James and John, the head of some people that were doing miracles, and they came to Jesus and says, hey, those guys over there, they're trying to do what we're doing over here. Do you want us to go take care of them? Want to go call down fire to consume them? Yeah. Jesus says, no. You don't know what kind of spirit you've got. Oh, I'm a man of God, and the anointing on my life is the kind of anointing that, you know, just kills people. You better go control yourself. You're a man of God and you're flipping all over the place, angry all the time. I can guarantee 90% of the time that person has no control over his emotions, has no control over his habits, has no control over the important things in his life. He does not. If you cannot tame yourself and control yourself, you will find yourself messed up. God has to break that foolishness out of you and I. He breaks it off to the proper levels. God doesn't want everybody to be slow and steady. You know, you got to have some fire. Like Peter, you got to have some fire. Like Paul, you got to have some fire. Amen? But it's not fire that destroys people anyhow. It's controlled. Hallelujah. So God is not going to change your personality and make you everybody look the same. No. Some people have the fire and some people say, cool down, brother, cool down. We've got to have both. Hallelujah. When you're going too far, say, hey, brother, we know. Come. Oh, it's okay. Tomorrow. We've got to have both. Because the devil's got to see that there are some people in the house that are no-nonsense people. You know, there's got to be me and there's got to be a mama. Yeah. We're too different. Hallelujah. If I don't have a mama, I think some people will run me over. But when they see mama, they say, well, be careful. Don't you go there, because mama is going to... Well, but mama's got to control her. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's the same. The same spirit. God has a cold side, but he has a hot side.
Yes.
Yeah? He's got both. He says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. Don't mess with him. He's patient. He's long-suffering. But the long-suffering ends at a particular point. And when it ends, that's it. Your goose is cooked. There's no looking back. You know, too late. We don't want that. Hallelujah. We want the blessing of the Lord. We want to continue in the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been talking for a while now, but let me wrap this up. And I'm not even close to being done with this. But this is what I want you to see. God calls us into the blessing. The blessed life is a life God calls us to. God calls us to the place of the blessing to make us a blessing, to inherit the blessing. And the Word of God gives us so many blessings. I think a few months back, we handed out a card like this that had 8 blessings of the Lord. Do you remember this? Does anyone not have this? You don't have 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I'll see if we have some copies of this in the back. If not, I'll see if I have some in my vehicle and I'll give those to you before you leave. The blessings of God are a must for us today. Especially in the days that we're coming into, we need the blessings of the Lord. Because the blessing of the Lord makes your little much. Listen, the things that we've been preaching about from the Word of God for years and years, and it seems like, okay, yeah, we've heard this, we've heard that. We're about to step into those days. We are already there. It's already started. But it's not rolled out completely. But there's coming the time. The day is coming. And it's coming quickly. Starting from 2 years from now, 2028 to 2030, you're going to see more of what I'm about to talk to you about now. in full play. I've been warning about this for years now. And I've been saying it and saying it, but I know the Lord. I was right here about 2 years ago. I was praying and walking around, and the Lord says, son, don't give up on 2028 to 2030. I said, what do you mean? He said, yes, that's how the agenda, the plan is, but you can still fight back and push those dates further. Amen. For the church. Amen. To accomplish more. Amen. So I am believing God to help us. But this is the fact. Starting from about 2028 to 2030, the government, the systems of this world are going to take full charge and control. That you, as you know it today, will not be able to function the way you're functioning now. Did you know that they're trying to get cash out of the system? Yeah? They're working very hard at it. And there's going to come the time when there's not going to be cash. And so the only way you're going to function is digitally. Yeah? Now, so when you're functioning from that digital sphere, the control then is you got to have a mark. You got to have a number. So that you can function in society. That's how it's going to start. Then it's going to be people are losing their numbers. So we've got to insert it. So you just wave your hand. Or, and it will read the number, and then you can do what you need to do. You can go to stores now where there's nobody working there. Nobody. The items are there. And the only way you access and do business is through your digital card or whatever it is, and that's how you do business. It's going to get tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. Now, what are you going to do then if you have not learned how to trust God? You might last a week and your tummy is going to tell you, go take the mark. If you don't have a mark, you're not going to work here. Then don't work there. Don't work there. If God saves you, praise God. If you die, you died. But you're not going to hell.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
You make a decision, and you're not going to make that decision then. You make the decision now to obey God's word. You practice it now.
Yes, Lord.
So your reflex is to do the right thing. You practice. It's coming. Don't say I didn't tell you. I've been warning about this for the last 20-something years. I come with the word of God, say, this is where we're going, and this is what's happening next, this is what's coming on next. Nobody who is part of Glory and Peace Church will be able to stand before God and say, pastor did not say anything about that. Jesus will say, you're a liar. He said it so many times. Do you remember this? Except maybe we're not attending church in the day I was talking about it. But it's coming. It is coming. Even our prime minister is right dead center of the plan.
Yeah, he's
right there. He's working it. He's working it. He's working it. He's working it.
Yes.
So don't say you were not told. So you got to be in the blessing, because the blessing makes your little much. The blessing separates you from Egypt and puts you in a Goshen. The blessing that you are part of the family of God, because you are a peacemaker. You are a peacemaker. Those blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. As many as received them, to them he gave the power to be the exousia, the authority to be called the sons of God. But as many as are led by the Spirit, led by the word of God, they are the sons. So you've got to make certain that you are led by the Spirit of God. You are led by the Word of God. This, I'm going to go to church whenever I want to. Listen. You got to get your priorities right.
Yes.
I can understand if you want to go somewhere else where they're telling stories and there's no meat, no word, nothing. I'll go whenever I want to. But if you are here, listen to everything that's been said.
Yes.
Because God is preparing you. Amen?
Amen?
To be head and not tail, above only and not beneath.
Amen.
You are no nonsense person. You know who you are. You know who exactly who you are. And when the devil is spouting his nonsense, you can say, "Shut up, devil. The Lord God Almighty rebukes you. That is not for me." I remember, Lord. I don't know when this was, but it's got to be close to 10 years ago. I said to you here, the days are coming that you're going to go to work and you're getting paid and you're having access, but that work no longer exists. You are going into another realm. And in that level, you are shopping in another realm. Hallelujah. You're shopping in another realm. You're having your groceries and the world is wondering, how come they're still alive? How come they're not dead yet? How come they're still eating? Well, because you're still going shopping. But you're going into another realm. Because you're a child of God. You're not of this kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How can I boldly say something like that? Because he's taking me to another realm. We had me tell the story of the white suit. Took me to another realm to go buy a white suit. So let's go shopping. I went shopping. I thought I was in Garden City, but I was in another realm buying the suit. I went to the store where I bought the suit and they said they never sold that kind of a suit. They don't sell that suit. And I bought that suit for $19 something, plus tax about $20 something. A suit that was marked about $300, marked down, white suit. And you're going to tell me something that God cannot? No, I'm walking with him. I know him and he knows me. And not only does he know me, the devil knows who I am. That one is like my papa was telling Kenneth Copeland. He says, "This one here, don't mess with him. He carries a big stick. He's quiet, but he carries a big stick." Yeah. We don't shout, we don't yell, but we know who we are. Amen? We know who we are. We are the sons of the Most High God. We are the manifestations of the sons of God. Some say, "I am the manifestation of the sons of God." That's who I am.
Amen.
I know who I am.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise.
We better know ourselves. Who are these manifestations of the sons of God? Peacemakers. They operate in peace. Not fighting all the time. Fight with your husband. You fight with your wife. You fight with your fellow employees. You fight with your staff members. You fight with your parents, you fight with your children, you fight everybody, your neighbors, you're fighting everywhere. Come on. Give yourself a break. Stay in the blessing. Hallelujah. There are multiplied blessings, Joseph's blessings, all kinds of blessings. Rise with me. Say with me, Father, I have received your word. Transform my life. Transform my life. Transform my life. Make me what your word says I am. I receive your word, and I declare this day that I belong to you, that you are my Lord and my Savior. You are the one who has loved me with an everlasting love. I am not condemned. I am justified. I am sanctified. I am holy. I am a peacemaker because your peace abides in me. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for making me a new creation. Thank you that the old is passed away and all things are now new in my life. Thank you that you've given to me the ministry of reconciliation and you have called me your ambassador. Henceforth, let the blessings that belongs to ambassadors be manifested in my life. I honor you, Father. I give you praise for all that you have done and will continue to do in me and through me. I rejoice in your loving kindness and your tender mercies. And I say tonight, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I trust that something that was said tonight caught your attention, amen, and that you are graced with the goodness of God. I encourage you once again, please tap into the messages on peace. They are very foundational messages, and just listen to it again and again until you assimilate it and it assimilates you. You become one with it. And when you and I are one with peace, oh, hallelujah, the Prince of Peace will reign through us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, we will honor God with our giving. We'll release to Him in obedience our resources. One of the first things, finally, that God has brought me to is the place where I've come to understand that my dealings with the Father are dealings relationally based on how He wants me to relate with Him when it comes to finances. So I say to people, it's shocked when I say it, I don't tithe. I've gone past that. I listen to hear God, what He will say to me. What do you want from me? And He tells me. And it is way out from what my income is. Those that count will never know whether I got a check from the church or not, because it's not based on that anymore. It's not based on anything that came to me in a natural sense. I'm just obeying God, following through, just doing what He said. And I've not lacked one time giving to God what He said. Because if He's asking it of me, then He has to give it to me. I cannot give to Him what He has not given to me. So he, you want it? You got to give it to me so I can give it to you. And I was, must have been this morning, I said, Lord, I'd like to be at a place where at the bare minimum, what comes out of my hand every day for the gospel is $1,500. I said, I'm trusting you for that. Can we do that? Can we do that? So I'm waiting because I know he will get me there. I know he will get me there. And I'll just release it. Release it. If he can get it to me, I can get it to him. And guess what? More will come. Do you think that that is anything to Elon Musk? Nothing. That is like, what were you talking about? Tell me about 15 million a day, then we shall be talking. I want to start from somewhere. Huh? Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. You just deal with God, and God will help. That's all I'm saying. I thank God I'm not the $5, $20 person anymore. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter where I am. I'm not saying that $5 or $20 is bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you can grow. You can grow. Because you love God and you love his people and you want things done. Just, let's go. Because I'm not taking any of it with me. Praise the Lord. Nobody's, if Elon Musk, you know, kicks the bucket today, you think he's going to take his $1 trillion with him? No, it's staying here. I don't care whether they take him to the moon. It's not going anywhere. So do something with it. Use it. Invest. If you're investing, invest for God's glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to thank God for those that are watching online, those on Facebook and YouTube, Reddit and other platforms. We celebrate the goodness of God in your life and we say to you today, God is with you and is at peace with you. If you do not know him as your personal Lord and Savior, just simply ask him and say, God, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. I want a peace relationship with you, and he will make it happen just like that. Amen? So we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. On Friday, there's not going to be a prayer meeting here. We are all going to be congregating at the concert with Sinash at Calvary Temple. That's next Friday at 6 o'clock. I will encourage you to be there before 6 o'clock so you get good parking and everything, and you can get there and participate in this particular concert. It's going to be a blessed time. The reason my face is in there is because I'm going to be one of the best singers, you know. You can see I did a good one. I said, yeah, look at that. No, they're going to be honoring me for my 50 years of faithful service to the Lord, you know. So we are all part of the team together. So let's go together and celebrate together the goodness of God. The official celebration of the 50th year of ministry is going to happen in September. September the 10th to the 13th. September the 10th is a Thursday. We are going to have services in the evening on Friday. Services in the evening on Saturday, there's going to be a plethora of ministers speaking to us, one minister after the other, about 15 minutes each. Bang, 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 bang. We're going to go till about 12, 12:30, and then we'll break, and then we'll come back in the evening at 6:30 and have another, at least two speakers speaking to us. And then on Sunday, it will be regular service. But in the evening, there's going to be a gala dinner. It's going to be happening at the Canard Inn. The plate is actually just under $70, but because of the rental of costs and gratuities and whatever else, it's going to end up being about $90 for that. Other costs are there, but we will swallow that. So you'll have to buy tickets for that particular dinner. Amen? So plan on that. Let's all celebrate together. There are people coming from Europe, people coming from the U.S., people coming from Africa, people coming from all over are going to be participating with us during that particular celebration. So that's coming up. So that's September 10th to the 13th. So I'm letting you